Buddhang saranang gacchami. Dutiyampi dhammang saranang gacchami. Dutiyampi sanghang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi buddhang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi dhammang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi sanghang saranang gacchami. Panatipata viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Adinadana viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Kamesu micchacara viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Musavada viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Suramiraya majadatadatana viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Okay, you wait. Zhupan, 你要出去啊? 你的车, I think, Joyce. Have to reverse your car. 你家 Lexus 吗? Okay, no problem. Okay, we continue from our puja chanting. We will chant the Padipa puja, offering of like. Ganna sarapaditena dipena tamadang sina tiloka dipang sambuddhang pujayami tamonudang ganda sambarayutena dopena hang sugang hina pujaye pujaniyang tang puja bacana mutamang vanna ganda guno petang etang kusuma santatin pujayami munindasa siri pada sarorohe pujemi buddhang kusumena nena punnena mattena cha hotu mokhang pupang milayati yata idang me kayo tatayati vinasabhavang adivasetu no bante paniyang parikapitang anukam upadaya patigan hatu mutamang adivase tuno bante pale parikapitang anukampang upadaya patigan hatu mutamang adivase tuno bante bojanang parikapitang anukampang upadaya patigan hatu mutamang. Now we will chant the puja aspiration based on our understanding of the significance of all this puja offering. Significance of offering of like. May this offering of like to the Buddha bring forth the causes and conditions to illuminate our mind and help arise the needed clarity and understanding to dispel all darkness or ignorance therein. Significance of offering of water. May this offering of pure, clear, cool water lead us to the pure, clear Dhamma that cools and doses off the fires of all defilements within our mind. Significance of offering of incense. May our morality, virtue, understanding shine forth far and wide, just like the fragrance of this incense, which we are offering to the Blessed One, who is perfect in wisdom and virtue. significance of offering of fruits. May this offering of fruits remind us of the dana parami of generosity and the fruit of all karma, so that we will diligently strive on with heedfulness to attain the path and fruition as soon as possible. Significance of offering of flowers. May this constant offering of flowers to the Blessed One strengthen our faith and constantly remind us of the impermanence of this body, so that we will diligently and sincerely strive on to cultivate sila, samadhi, and panya, leading to the ultimate liberation, the bond-free nibbana. Making of overall aspiration. By the power of all these merits, born of these offerings, may our spiritual faculties of Sada, Virya, Sati, Samadhi, and Panya be further strengthened until they become balas or powers, sharing and transferring merits to all beings. May these merits be shared and transferred to all beings without exception, especially to those who have an affinity to receive them. Sadhu. Sadhu, sadhu. Okay, let us pay respect to Tripa Jam. Padang Pujayami. Damang Pujayami. Sanghang Pujayami. Okay, you can be seated. Then you can have half an hour of silent meditation. Or the latest offering from Han, we should rejoice. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. The bear. Okay. For those who already know how to meditate, as usual, you can just proceed. If you are not sure, you got any question, later on you can ask. The key to meditation is the four support. Relax, aware, that's it. Then the rest is maintain the awareness for as long as you can. Then through that training, you will come to understand your true mind. Because when you are relaxed and aware and you let things be, your original state of mind before the stirring and the heedless thinking will arise. And that is your true mind. Without thought, you are just that nature, the awareness. So you have to let it return to that stillness, the silence. Without having to concentrate or focus, just relax away. Then when the activity of mind stops, when the emotion, everything stops, then you will realize your true mind, which is just silent, aware, without any thinking, without any aggregate of mind. That is your true mind, the meditative mind, the silent mind. So the whole of meditation is to understand this. Because most of you already have the spiritual faculty, the faith. Your mind can settle down very fast. Unless you are new, you still need to train this mind. Then you have to start from the beginning. Do the preliminary exercise and training. You need to decondition your heedless thinking, then do it. Using the mind sweeping method followed by metta, then stabilize the mindfulness or the silent mind with anapanasati. Then develop anapanasati until it's very quiet, very still and very fine, until there is hardly any movement of breath, no thought. So when you reach this state, it's the same as the one that has the understanding. No need method, no need technique, just relax, silent and aware. Then you will reach the stage of no thought. That's why you don't need method, technique, technically. You don't need anything. You only need to understand. If you are patient and not relaxed, the mind will settle down and return to its original state of stillness, silence. And that is your meditative mind. And that's what you are training to develop. And after that, stabilize it and use it to meditate, to develop the insight, the understanding. Okay, with that, I will let you meditate on your own. Then if you got any question, later on you can ask. Thank you. carefully. Karma order, meditation. Try to maintain whatever inner peace, inner calmness, and inner mindfulness that you have developed for as long as you can. Then relax body and mind, completely silent. Then maintain some form of attention. Then turn to page 6. We will do the invocation to the devas. Invocation to the devas. In this universe, in their entirety, let the deities or devas come here. Let them hear the good teaching of the King of Sages, which gives heaven and release. Nibbana. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. Samanta chakawale su atra gacchantu devata sattamam muni rajas sunantu sakamokkadam Dhamma savanan kalo ayam badanta. Dhamma savanan kalo ayam badanta. Dhamma savanan kalo ayam badanta. Namo atassa bhagavato. Arahato sama sambuddhasa Namo atassa bhagavato Arahato sama sambuddhasa Namo atassa bhagavato Arahato sama sambuddhasa Iti peso bhagava arahang sama sambuddho Vijja charana sampanno sugato lokavidu Anuttaro purisa dhamma sarati sat Ta deva mano sanang buddho bhagavati Swakato bhagavata dhammo Sanditiko akaliko Hipaseko opanayiko Pajatang veditabo vinohiti Supatipano bhagavato savakasango Ujupatipano bhagavato savakasango Nyaya patipano bhagavato savaka sangho Samichi patipano bhagavato savaka sangho Yadidang chattari purisa yukani Atta purisa pugala Esa bhagavato savaka sangho Ahuneyo pahuneyo Dakineyo anjali karaniyo Anuttarang punyaketang Lokasati Sadhu 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 Okay, let us pay respect to Pajama. Bedang Pujayami. Tamang Pujayami. Sanghang Pujayami. Okay, you can be seated. Then just relax body and mind. Maintain support attention. Then we shall continue from where we stopped. We are now on a new chapter, chapter 22. The title is, What is the Origin of Life? It's a very interesting topic. Okay, turn to page 392, chapter 22, What is the Origin of Life? This topic is very interesting. So the Buddhist understanding of the origin of life is very different, very different. Any of you have any idea of this question regarding origin of life? What do you think is the origin of life? How did life arise? Take for example human beings. How did human beings come to this world? What is the beginning of life? Is there a beginning? Have you all pass the mic to Yun Chan for the recording, Yun Chan. Yes. Come nearer, so that we can discuss it. No need to be so formal, Come nearer. More informal.
Yun Chan. It's like some people from the another realm. From another realm, they came down, and then they liked the foam. They were eating the foam, and after that, slowly they became.
Oh, that is the Buddhist one, but that is still actually not really the beginning of life. You understand? That one is the beginning of life on planet Earth. Do you understand? This one is related to the beings from the Brahma realm. This Brahmarai being, they have what they call jhanas. They got the four Brahma Vihara. Their mind states are very calm actually. They are very peaceful. So what happened was, there was this period where Earth got no human being. Planet Earth got no human being. So some of these Brahmarai beings, they came to planet Earth. They don't have a gross physical body like us. They are like, we call it the Brahma. Brahma means they have a very well-developed mind that has jhanas. But they don't have a solid physical body like us. So then when they came, they were actually like translucent form in inverted comma, not solid body. It's like a type of consciousness based type of being. When they came down here, they start to get used to the environment. So that time, because nature, so they got a lot of very fragrant things on planet Earth. So their senses starts to get attracted to all this. Then after some of this being too long, they have been here. Then they realize they cannot go back to the Brahmarai. So what happened? They're forced to stay here. That's how they evolve. You are. Then they start to have more and more solid type of physical body, so that the senses has to be developed. As you know, we got the three world. What are the three world? In Mahayana, you all heard it, right? Sanjie. Loka. Heard of Loka? What are the three world? Kama Loka, the sensual rhyme, sensual. Then? Rupa Loka, very good. So Rupa Loka are above the devas. The Brahma, 16 rhymes of Brahma rhyme are called Rupa Loka. So they exist in Rupa form. Then the other four rhyme, the last four, they are called Arupa Loka, the formless rhyme. So formless rhyme and the form rhyme, their physical body are not solid. That's why their senses, their five physical senses and their brain, these senses, they are not strong. That's why they don't have the sensuality. So without sensuality, they will not fall into the sensual rhyme. Whereas for the devas and the human being and the four woeful rhyme, their senses are strong, developed. That's why they are called the beings of the sensual rhyme. So when they cannot go back to their form rhyme, they stay here, they develop the senses. That's how they evolve, the human being come to be. That was according to the Buddhist teaching. Yeah. But this doesn't mean it is the beginning of life. You understand? Where the whole universe is so vast. So before the Brahma, how did life begin? If you were to trace back, nobody knows the answer. And the Buddha's answer is the best. Do you know what the Buddha said? Yeah, you turn to page 392. 392, yes. The opening statement, Sanyutta Nikaya. What is the origin of life, the Buddha said? Inconceivable is the beginning, O disciple, of this faring on. The earliest point is not revealed of the running on, the faring on of beings, clothed in ignorance, tied by craving. Means this has been going on for very, very long. He used the word inconceivable is the beginning. So this beginning is, unless you are Sammasambuddha, then he can trace back. But it is very, 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 very long. It could be eons and eons and eons and eons. The very first thought of ignorance that drawn and accumulate until what we are now. That's why all of us are very, very, long time wanderers in space and time. In fact, you could be one of the longest travelers in space and time. You have been traveling through space and time under the karmic law, the law of karma, via your countless birth and death without you knowing it. So this part of the teaching is very, very unique, very special. Then what about other religion? Have you heard of other religion? What is their answer to life? Beginning of life. They say God create Christianity, and this is what they call those who believe in God. So when you say, PG is here, in time for her to listen. This is important to her. she like karma. So this chapter 22 on origin of life is very important. So like you all know, Christianity always talk about Adam and Eve. That is under their, they call it what, the before the New Testament, under the Old Testament. What do they call it right there? The Adam and Eve one, they got Genesis. Book of Genesis. You heard of this? Yeah? How God create. In the first day, what did God create? No. Let there be light. There is light. Understand? Then after that, He created the world. Then He created the human being. Then He rests on the seventh day. That's why there is a type of Christianity called Seventh-day Adventist. Or the Sabbath day, they say. They don't work on, no. They don't even study, you know. I got a classmate who was like that, no, from Penang. And when he told me that after he graduated, I got a shock. I said, exam coming. You don't need to prepare. He said, I got no choice. My religion says Sunday, I don't work, I don't study, I don't do anything. I take a rest. And people go by the book in that state. So you look at the religion of the world, you will find it very interesting in the sense that different religion talks about life differently. So the book of Genesis also never say when did God create. He just say God create Adam and Eve. And how did Adam come about? After that he created Eve, is it? From the rib. Then down come the wind. That one I think is not in the Genesis. That one not in the Genesis. Because they were without clothes, understand? So they think, I think that one somebody add on. What I heard was the very classical poetry. Because they were shy, they put the leaf in front. Yeah? There was no clothing last time. So they put the leaf to cover. But down come the wind. The leaf got exposed. Then they don't know what that is. That's why the serpent come out. And finally, after Adam ate the forbidden fruit, Adam's apple. That's why the man got the throat here, they call it the Adam's apple. So what happened? What is that fruit? Fruit that gave rise to the knowledge of? You all never study religion. The fruit of what? The fruit that gives rise to the knowledge of good and evil. You haven't heard of that? You go back and read the Bible. Or the Genesis. So when they eat the fruit, that give rise to the knowledge of good and evil, you know what is that or not? Duality. Our duality. That's why you fall. That's not all. Then you got right and wrong. Good and bad. Understand? Knowledge of good and evil. The duality. That's why after that, God got very angry. So God got anger. Understand? That God got anger. He said, already warn you. That is the forbidden fruit. You shouldn't take them. And yet they take them. So this is the Garden of Eden in the kingdom of God. So what happened after that? So God banished them from the kingdom of God, from the Garden of Eden. To where? To earth. Then how come from Adam and Eve you got African Negro, you got Chinese, you got Kwailo. You got all the various races. I also don't know how Adam and Eve evolved. But you look at all the human race, they are so different, so different. Then those who live in the North Pole, South Pole, the Eskimo, they are so different. The genes, of course, is quite similar. The human being and the apes, they said your genes are very close, 99% match. So genes, DNA, and all these things is very difficult. So coming to Christianity, there is also no answer. It just tells you God created Adam, then Adam created Eve. Then from there, the human race come about. They eat the fruit that give rise to the knowledge of good and evil. They were banished from maybe heaven as they come down to earth. Then their teaching didn't account for all the other beings of the other realms. Then you check other teaching. Nobody can give an answer to life. What is the origin of life? Except the Buddha, who gave a very precise teaching. But people cannot understand him. That is the problem. So now we will read through what the author of this book has to provide. Then we discuss it. Rebirth, which Buddhists do not regard as mere theory but as a fact, verifiable by evidence, forms a fundamental tenet of Buddhism, though its goal is Nibbana. Though its goal, Nibbana, is attainable in this life itself. So, for Buddhists, we have this main teaching, the law of karma. That's why we not only believe that there is rebirth, we understand what rebirth is. That's why the teaching is very different, very profound. Then, of course, like here, the book says, our goal for all Buddhists is to realize enlightenment, which is the Nibbana. Actually, Nibbana is not a mind state. It's the realization of enlightenment, which is the realization of cessation of forming mind, or Nibbana. And this one can be realized in this life itself before you die. Then the author said the Bodhisattva ideal and the correlative doctrine or teaching of freedom to attain utter perfection, to become Sammasambuddha, are based on the doctrine or teaching of rebirth. That's why all of the Bodhisattva ideal, birth after birth, you perfect yourself until full perfection or Sammasambuddhahood, is based on this doctrine or teaching of rebirth. But the Buddhist concept of rebirth is very different from other religions. Documents record that this belief in rebirth view as transmigration or reincarnation. Yeah, all the other philosophers believe in this because they believe in God. Was accepted by the philosopher like Pythagoras. You know who is Pythagoras, the famous mathematician? Pythagoras theory or theorem. You know what is Pythagoras theorem? Maths, yes. The triangle. A squared plus B squared is equal to C squared. he very smart. Then Plato. We learned before Plato, the famous philosopher. Then there is poet like Shelley, Tennyson, and Wordsworth, and many ordinary people in the East as well as in the West. The Buddhist doctrine of rebirth should be differentiated from the theory of transmigration and reincarnation of other systems, because Buddhism denies the existence of a transmigrating permanent soul created by God or emanating from a paramatma called a divine essence. So this is the basic difference between the Buddhist understanding and the understanding of other religion. So now we discuss this. I will turn the whiteboard. Huh? Okay, chapter 22, what is the origin of life? So we talk about rebirth. So how did rebirth happen? So there are fundamentally two theories. One is the commonly accepted one. They talk about reincarnation. So theory of rebirth. First one is reincarnation. Okay? Reincarnation means what? Huh? There is something that continues, isn't it? That's why they say there is a soul. This is permanent, unchanging. So they say this one transmigrate. Reincarnation is transmigration. That's why our Chinese dialect very good. Huh? Now the polite way of saying somebody died, they don't say he died. He migrated already. Migrated to another rhyme. So that's why transmigration. You migrated there. So, yi ming liao. In Mandarin, you always hear. You never heard of that, are you? Yi man zhe. Yeah, yi man zhe. They ask, where is your good friend? Oh, yi man zhe. Migrated. Means to another rhyme, not to another country. Huh? Not so polite, lah. Oh, say jala. I mean, very rude, very crude. You know. Huh? Pass away, ah? Oh, die, ah? Oh, dead, ah? How did he die? All this thing. But you say, Yi Man Zhao, he won't ask you how he died. You know. Oh, Yi Man Zhao, hui pindo, ah? Mji, ah? One on the rhyme. So this one is very strong belief by the Christian. What do you think? When you die. If let's say this soul transmigrated, then what will happen to the human being? When you take rebirth, that soul, which is the permanent unchanging entity, will know everything, isn't it? Or not? Because you were this before you die. Understand or not? When you die, he said, this fellow didn't die. This fellow come out and take another body. So he will retain everything. Yeah. But what we witness and saw is not there. Understand or not? How did the baby continue? That's why when you understand this, you will understand how wise the Buddha is. How unique the Buddhist teaching is. The Buddha say it's not a soul. It's not something that transmigrated. It's just a rebirth consciousness. One simple consciousness get trapped inside the new body. You must go and listen to the Thursday class recording, otherwise you won't understand. The Thursday class, we go very deep into all this. About death and all this thing. Anyway, the short note, tomorrow I should finish. Yeah? When I finish, you can read the Thursday class short note, the last Thursday class, which was very good. And done by Puan Chi's daughter. I was very surprised on the last few transcripts by her. She can understand. And like Puan Chi said, she did it like a mini transcript. Except initially, I need to edit quite a bit of things. But her English was quite good. So I make it more precise and clearer. Other than that, she did it. And like Puan Chi said, because he went through very, very tough life, suffering, real suffering, and still so young. But that one wake up. Like she said, she came with her mother to see me 3 or 4 years ago. That time she cannot understand. She tried very hard, cannot understand. Then what make her understand? After she kena from karmic, first noble truth reality, heat, severe. Then what happened? Nowhere to go. Finally, determined to go all out to have this understanding. What did he do? What did she do? Listen to my audio file. She listened and listened and listened. She was so determined. No? Until she suddenly can understand. No? Because all the suffering that she went through, the Thursday class is the best class to understand this. Because I always talk about wrong thought. Conditioning your fear, worry, anxiety, suffering, misery, your evil roots and all those things, your scars of memory, your fear, your phobia and all those things. So all these are there. That's why when she listens, it's all related to her life, her suffering. Then she become more interested. Then after that, when she starts to develop further understanding, she knew why she become like that. Especially when I go through Anita, what book? Mojani. She finished that transcript last Thursday. And it was very good. 5 pages. So when it come out, you will know. That one, she like understand Mojani inside out. Because Mojani say she don't love herself. That's the cause of the cancer. That's the cause of her suffering. She don't love herself. If you love yourself means what? You will go all out to protect yourself, isn't it? Not allow yourself to be hurt or harmed, isn't it? By what? By the wrong use of your thought, understand? Your thought is like a tool, like a knife. It's for you to use appropriately, but she use it for what? Like Anita Mojani. To hurt herself, harm herself through the wrong thought that causes her suffering, misery, phobia and all those things, fear. Because she thinks the wrong thought. She got delusion, avijja, ignorant. And that's the cause of suffering, the first noble truth reality hit. Then she, for Anita, is cancer, everything. This one is suffering. Yeah. Then second one, live a fearless life. Because whenever she got this first noble truth reality, there is this sorrow, lamentation, unhappiness, fear. Anxiety, misery, negativity, sorrow and lament. So all these actually are negative energy state. That's why when you live a fearless life without fear, you are free. You know what is fear? Human being, all your problems arise from fear. You may not agree with me, but the moment I explain, you will know. Without fear, there is no problem. Because when you perceive something with negativity, means what? You fear that that thing will happen. That's why you say you have a problem. So all your problem arise from fear. Fear of what? Yeah? Fear of dying. Fear of getting sick. Fear of losing your loved one. Fear of relationship failure. Fear of losing your job and your career. Fear of, they used to say nowadays, for my school reunion, you know what they talk about? They don't talk about career anymore. They don't talk about how much money you have anymore, how successful you are. That one is 30 years old, 40 years old. But now, they say, three things you must have. Sek tak, fan tak, hang tak, shall very good already. You know what is that not? Can eat, can sleep, and can move around. They say that is the highest blessing money cannot buy. They scared they cannot eat. Got money, want to eat, cannot eat. want to sleep cannot sleep, want to travel cannot travel. So when you got money, there are many ways to use money. Yeah, you know how to use money. How many don't know how to use money? Then pass to me. I have you to use. But there are two very important way to use money. You know, I got one friend. He really created a joke. Yeah, but after I explained all this to him, then he realized, he said, yeah, but Thiru, what you say is very true. One way of using your money is sik tak, fan tak, hang tak, sang ngao ngao yung. Understand or not? You use money to travel, to enjoy your life, pamper yourself, eat the good food, experience life, all those things. They have a good sleep, understand or not? But when you need to lie down and use, fan tai le yong, say lao. When you are in the hospital, you lie down, you spend more money, you know, faster some more. No? The bill, every day 4-digit one. No? Minimum 3-digit one. Eat, how much can you eat? Understand? No? One meal, maybe 20 ringgit, simple meal, huh? But if you go restaurant, maybe you pay more. Each person maybe 50, 60 or 100 ringgit at the most. But it's not as expensive as a hospital the moment you admit. I tell you, they ask you got insurance or not. Don't have insurance. Got credit card or not. Locks in. Then go in. Because what is credit card? License to charge you. But it's a charge card for you. For the hospital to charge you. So, if you are given a card to charge, what will you do? You will do everything, isn't it? All the tests, whether required or not, they will do. The full blood test. Then, whatever specially related one come. And I got one classmate told me, he said, the bill, when they come out, how come the same day, doctor charges so many one? You know what? Especially when you go for surgery, the anesthesia, the operating theater is a separate call. The doctor who did the operation, then sometimes they need assistant. Then they also got different type of feel. So all this come, one look at your heart, one look at your diabetic, then one look at your brain and all those things. Oh, they come, ask you, how are you? Okay, then check your heartbeat, pulse, everything. That's it. The bill will come. Then medication, everything. I tell you, Najib, last time the doctor was very good when my mother-in-law was admitted to one of the hospital. The hospital actually knew that we are not from a wealthy family. Then my mother-in-law also a very good lady. So he saw her condition like that. He said, what I will do is, I will discharge you before the 2 o'clock or don't know what. So half day charge. Otherwise, very expensive. He said, here, you cannot afford it. Too expensive. We have a colon problem. He said, you better go GH or what. So luckily, the doctor said that. No? Just go in like that. Half day, come out. The bill, 1,000 over. Because of the blood test, everything. But the doctor was very good. Otherwise, I tell you, it's not cheap. So, coming back to the Buddhist teaching, so you make your own decision, whether you want to sang ngao ngao yong or fan tai le yong, it's up to you. Means while you're alive, when you can still go around, when you can still enjoy your food, then you can have a good sleep. That is good life, isn't it? Then you spend your wealth, your money. That is worth it. Do charity, have joy, laughter, humor, everything. But when you don't do all this, somehow nature is very funny, you know. You also have to use your money, you know. When you go and get yourself admitted in the hospital, lying in the hospital bed, you also use money faster some more. So that is what the Cantonese meaning is. Fan tai le yong. Means you use money while lying down on the hospital bed instead of with your full ability to move around have good meal, enjoy life, and have good sleep and all those things. So without the Dhamma, that three things, do you think it's easy to achieve or not? Yeah? I tell you, good sleep, very few people have that. And when they cannot have good sleep, you know what they do? Huh? What they do? These people wake up meditate. These people go and drink, drown themselves in sorrow so that they can sleep. The other one is go and exercise until very tired so that they collapse on the bed. Otherwise, they cannot sleep. There was an investment banker told me that every weekend he must go and tire himself out until he can sleep. Otherwise, he cannot sleep. The pressure, you see, the target, the stress, the decision that he has to make. So a lot of people under stress. Then some people with phobia, fear, they go and smoke to calm themselves down. That's why not easy for a person to have that three things that my classmate, they are looking for. He said, Sektak means you can still enjoy food, eat things. Fantak means you can have a good sleep. Then the most important is mobility. Hangtak, can walk around, can travel, understand? Otherwise, got money also cannot travel, understand? Then Vivian will tell you how she enjoy going on the what? That one people carry you on the seat. She paid a bit on it, not much. But luckily she did that, otherwise not easy. That one very tough. The Shangri-La trip. Quite a bit. How much you paid? Got one K or not? Renminbi? Less than 1K. 800, okay. Pay about 500, 600. Okay, our money about 400. But it save you the... Yeah, it save you the up and down. Oh, that was worth it, I tell you. Okay, now coming back to the important understanding of the Buddha's teaching. Okay, the second one is what? The Buddhist understanding of rebirth. Buddhist concept of rebirth. What is the Buddhist concept of rebirth? That's why when they talk about the Tibetan believe in reincarnation and transmigration. It's different. That's why people don't know. The Buddhist concept of rebirth as taught by the Buddha is very different. He said, when rebirth happens, when rebirth happens, only a simple only a simple rebirth consciousness arise. It's just one rebirth consciousness. The moment you die, let's say this is death consciousness. Death consciousness. Yeah. In Pali it's called what? Very good. Take leave. Cuti citta. So he said you are going to go on leave already. Cuti citta. So immediately you are conditioned rebirth consciousness. And this rebirth consciousness is just one moment of consciousness. Just like your thought process. This thought, then the next thought conditional. Just one thought. That's how you account for the baby when they take conception. They don't know anything. That's not. the brain later on as it develops, no memory yet. That's why when they are born, they know nothing. But the very, very unique understanding of rebirth under the Buddha's teaching is law of karma play a very powerful role. The moment you are born into this world under the rebirth consciousness, your karmic nature straight away, even though it's just one simple rebirth consciousness, straight away, the karmic nature come into place. So this karmic nature is what the Buddha said. You are born of your karma, heir to your karma, conditioned and supported by your karma. And you are what you are because of. So your karmic nature decides that birth. That's why rebirth is about karma. Then this one is very complicated, even though it's a single, simple consciousness. That's why this is the one that created the difference earlier on, remember, under the law of karma. Why are human beings born unequal, different? Remember? We went through all those things. We all decided by karma. So all this karmic nature starts to immediately, because this form of mind is subject to karma, it starts to inherit. That's why you are born of it, the Buddha said. Heir to your karma. Supported. Conditioned and supported by your karma. And you are what you are because of karma. So because of this, this is the unique understanding. And this explains why the world is like that. Why living beings are like that. You understand? That's why this one fit it perfect. Very well. That's the uniqueness of the Buddha's teaching. And this law of karma is very difficult to understand. Very complicated. Very complex. Unless you are Samasabuddha or a very great cultivator, great being. Otherwise you cannot understand. So this is the uniqueness of the Buddha's teaching. It's just like when we are already adult. If people give you a theory, they say there is a soul inside that is responsible for your seeing, your hearing, your smell, your taste, your tactile, and your thought process. They say, no soul how to think. You think logical or not? Huh? If there is nothing inside there responsible for seeing, then how do you see? Very logical, isn't it? But the Buddha say, all these are not wrong, are not right. All these are wrong. He explained to you how through mindfulness, meditation, he understood all this. He said, all this seeing consciousness, hearing consciousness, smell, taste, tactile, they are dependent originating. There is nobody inside there. You understand? Huh? Like the physics experiment. You on the switch, the light bulb light up. Lighting up is like you become conscious of that sense though. And there's nobody inside. That's why it's anatta, non-self. And what is the brain? Even now Krishnamurti know. He asks, is there a thinker behind the thought? What do you think? Logically, what do you think? Has to be have a thinker. Well, huh? No thinker, where got thought? There must be a thinker behind a thought, isn't it? But did you really go and check it out with your meditation, with your mindfulness? Who think? What think? Nothing think. Thought is respond to memory. Because when you have memory, thought arise. That's why the baby got no thought. Understand? The moment is born, there is no thought. Until you condition the baby, teach the baby a lot of things, then the brain starts to accumulate. And then it becomes complex enough to create thought, respond to memory. That's how thought arises. So Krishnamurti came to know where he got awareness. That's why he said the thought thing itself. Through what? Through its own conditioning, wrong view, belief system, understand? Religious label. That's how thinking come to be. That's why delusion condition all this heedless thinking, creating the wrong thought, causing your suffering. But when there is wisdom, thought become wholesome. No more delusion. Then how does the same person can be deluded and can be enlightened? Which means that soul sometimes can be deluded, sometimes can be enlightened. It's supposed to be a permanent, unchanging thing. That's why this theory cannot hold water at all, the permanent soul. You understand? That's the reason why the uniqueness of the Buddhist teaching, the Buddhist understanding of what rebirth is very powerful. Until today, there is no religion can explain it so well, so complete. And even as Buddhists, I tell you, a lot of people don't understand this. Do you see that point? Yeah. And today, the WhatsApp got very good condition. All those people who actually developed the understanding, you know how they did it or not? They follow Avijja Sutta. You have to listen to the Dhamma and straighten your view, then put it into cultivation. If you don't listen to the Dhamma, there is no understanding. No yoniso manasikara. Without yoniso manasikara, wisdom at the moment of sense experience, the wise consideration at the moment of sense experience, you cannot awaken. That's why daily mindfulness is very important. After you listen to the Dhamma, you straighten your view, you have to cultivate the four foundations of mindfulness. That's why the Avijja Sutta mentioned all this. How does enlightenment come to be? Yeah? Awakening. The nutriment for enlightenment is the seven factors of enlightenment. Remember? And the seven factors of enlightenment can only arise, how? When you cultivate the four foundations of mindfulness. Then the four foundations of mindfulness need sati. Then it all connect until finally yoniso manasikara. Then after that, yoniso manasikara, the nutriment for it is listening to the Dhamma, straightening your view. Then to listen to the Dhamma, you must have Dhamma friends. That's why without kayamita, without Dhamma friend, you will never listen to the Dhamma. If we don't have this kayamita ship with all these Dhamma classes on, do you think you will listen? To you, coming to either Tuesday, Thursday or Sunday, good enough already. You go back, you never listen. Those who progress, I tell you, are the one listening, making note, underlying, highlighting, like Christina and all things. And the best one was Eric. You know what he said on in the WhatsApp? What did he say? Huh? Queenie knocked the head. What did he say? Read it out. No, read it out from the WhatsApp. Ayo. The mic is there. Somebody help her. Pass the mic to her. If you really want to progress, I tell you, you have to constantly listen to the Dhamma, straighten your view, then cultivate four foundations of mindfulness. You need sati. You found it? Huh? What did he say? I'm looking for him. I see. Okay, I have already. You got it or not? Huh? You got it already? I'm not sure. Okay, I read after Christina. Maybe I read the whole thing. Easier. I read the whole thing easier. Okay. You see, what happened was today's condition come about. You ask Joyce, she will know. She invited me for lunch with her husband, Clifford. Then we were talking about Dhamma, the cultivation and all those things. Then they were also discussing about some monks who can read mind and all those things, very popular. Then, what is the real understanding of the teaching? You need to be mindful, heedful. So you try to do something else, are you mindful? Yeah? You are preoccupied with thinking, thought, or trying to know something. Are you mindful? That's why the moment you try to do all these things, you are already heedless, understand? You are not aware. So, what is Dhamma? That's why a lot of this teaching, so-called teaching, cannot have a impact on living beings, cannot free their mind. And Eric knew, he went all over. Motivation course, he went and joined the Christian for 2 years plus. Do everything. And you know what his answer was or not? I read to you that one first. That one is very important. He said, you listen, huh? Okay, under Eric Tam, he agreed with Christina. He said, the reason I change is not magic. It's because Brother Teo explained it in a way that make complete sense of his problem. Of course, the teaching is from the Buddha, but he said, Brother Teo is the only person I knew that can make me understand. Do you realize or not? He went everywhere. Because I explained what is wrong thought. And that was what happening to him. And that was what happened to Panchi's daughter. And that was what happened to all those in depression. But you don't have to wait till you got depression only can understand the Dhamma. Understand? But most people, not enough suffering. You are too complacent. You're never serious, I tell you. Wait till you kena kau kau like Ekana. Then he suddenly, he has suicidal thought, you know, not Ekatole. Then suddenly the thought inside tell him. He said, if I cannot accept what I do, means there are two in me. One doing the nonsense, the other one cannot accept. Means there are two in me, not one. Then from there, he, because past life cultivate before he went in, he awakened. Then Anita one is because past life she also cultivated, but this life she has to pay back the karma, and the condition has to be like that for her to go through that and immediately have the chance to come back to the body. Otherwise she cannot remember. She will not learn. But because of that she learned. That's why with that understanding he go back, the cancer healed. Because no more wrong thought. You remember the five lesson, greatest lesson learned. What did he say? Love yourself. Then live your life fearlessly. The third one is what? You are sure like you. Have humor, laughter, and? Ayo, the last one most important. What do you need in life? Joy. Humor, laughter, and joy. Kid also know. That's why they're very excited. Ha ha ha. They play like nobody's business. That's all. And there is so much joy in them. So much laughter. Kaka kaka with the innocent laughter. Unless they fall down and get into trouble. Otherwise, they are very happy. And they run around. You say, boy, don't do that. So, life is understanding. When you understand, you will have this good mind state. So with humor, laughter, and joy, this is the medicine for good mind state. Understand? Just like when you live a fearless life. Fearless means without fear, without negative energy, the fearful energy. No fear means no anxiety, no sorrow, no lamentation. You understand? So all these are related to the Buddha's Noble Eightfold Path right thought. That's why Christina also very good. She gave a very good answer. Because she has been analyzing, or I should say contemplating on what I share every time I go back to the same thing. Go back. Then she realized she used it to apply. They got it right. Then recently this gathering of Kayamita, I think one group of Kayamita song they all. I was so surprised they gave me a poster, the green color one. I asked my wife to bring. You know what was the message? I sent into the WhatsApp, you all didn't read? Ayo, you people. You all didn't read. Who was the one who came up with the idea? Must be Song. Huh? Yeah? Song, 谁写的这个? 你帮他们写的? Yeah? 谁? Oh, Miss Lee do one. Oh, not bad. I think she must be, after so many times, doesn't understand what really the true meditation is. Silent, relaxed, aware. Means what? The first three support. Yeah? Silent, relaxed, aware. So when you are silent, relaxed, and aware, means you can maintain the awareness. Then he said, and let it return to its original state. You will realize your true mind, your true nature. Yeah, she used the word yourself nature. And she put my name there. And one group of people signed. I thought it was from there. All the people who signed, I saw Song's signature there. Oh, committee. No. Okay, so you all can pass it around. You all can read it later. Pass it around. You see, when you understand this is what the essence is, when you get the essence, you put it into practice, you will understand. Then now I will read through to you what actually was the case, the condition that led to the sharing today. It was because of, like I say, you all should thank Joyce and Clifford for inviting me and my wife to have lunch. Then all this came out. Then I have problem searching for Panji's daughter's WhatsApp because I didn't put her name in. It was just the number. So when I was looking for it, our Maikayamita website got 160 something name. No? Then I look everywhere, I cannot find her name. No? It was a unnamed phone number. That's why finally I got an idea. I call up Panji. I say, ask your daughter to text me a message. She did. Immediately I found it. That's why after that I share this. So what happened is, I wrote here, we'll be sending something important for sharing. Then Ponchi texted me back. He said, Brother Teo, my daughter has texted you already. Have you received? I said, yes, thanks. I said, I need to share her other good messages to help other Kayamita to develop the understanding. Then she said, Sadhu, Brother Teo. He said, your talk had transformed her greatly. Then she also said, Sadhu, and very good. Then I said, yes, Sadhu. Then after that, the daughter wrote to me in August the 6th. Hey, Brother Teo. He said, I'm Angie here, Panji's daughter. I've been listening to your talk consistently. Recently, you see the word consistently means non-stop. I just want to express a heartfelt thank you, for it has helped me a lot in my daily life, means during her difficult time. Thank you for your wisdom and sharing, Sadhu. Then I reply back, I say, Sadhu, my nature rejoices too. Please keep it up with the good progress. Then after that, she texts me on the birthday gathering of Kayamita, 21st October, recently. He said, happy birthday, Brother Teo, wishing you the best of health and joy always. Thank you for all your profound Dhamma sharing. Very thankful to be able to listen to them and be able to understand, connect to your nature, even though it took me a while. Since I last met you for advice with my parents 3 years back. See? Not easy. For 3 years, they can't understand. Even Ponchi last time was the same. Also, a few years couldn't understand. Until later, when she really understands, she has so much joy. She came and thanked me. She said, Brother Teo, not easy. It took me so long. And she has been with the Dhamma for very long, I tell you. They were earlier on with the Burmese tradition, rising, falling, and all those things. Then later on, She continued, she said, thank you. Then she said, with love and metta, Angie, her name is Peon. Then I said, sadhu. Then I put here, remember Avijja Sutta. The nutriment for wise consideration or wise attention at the moment of sense experience, which is yoniso manasikara, is confidence in the triple gem. To develop it, one must listen to the Dhamma and cultivate. Then the nutriment for listening to the Dhamma is to have good Dhamma friends. Hence, Dhamma friends or having good Dhamma friends is a prerequisite for enlightenment. Then Panchi gave further detail about what happened to her daughter. He said, my daughter told me that she can understand what Brother Teo is sharing now, because things are so clear after the suffering that she went through. She was so grateful and enthusiastic to listen to the recorded talks. Her short notes are more like transcript because she listened intensely and with so much joy and understanding. Brother Teo's sharing has indeed helped her life, helped her in her life. Once again, sadhu, Brother Teo. Yeah. Then after that, a few Kayarimita also rejoice. Then this Christina is very good. Then Engbi also shared something. He says, sadhu, another young heart showing their heartfelt appreciation and gratitude to Brother Teo. So recently, a lot of young people, starting with Mimi San and all those things, they start to understand the Dhamma and then they express their gratitude and their joy, including Eric and all those things. Especially Eric, he was in depression with suicidal thought for 19 years. And you heard her sharing, his sharing that day. Then Christina, this one is very good. This one is after many years. She also had a very traumatic life last time. Her husband passed away and all those things. A lot of things. Christina said, in fact, I'm one of the deluded ones as well. Which was very true. Last time, she used to drink late night, come back, don't know how she reached home. Very heedless. Drink a lot, smoke a lot and all those things. He said, we have to go through the noble truth in life, contemplating into it with wise attention, resolve and deal with it with Noble Eightfold Path. See? He realized he has to go back to Noble Eightfold Path. Everything will fall into place if we do that. Then if we do not react and be at peace with all situations, that's why very concise. Without Noble Eightfold Path, you cannot get out of the situation. Where the Buddha under the Fourth Noble Truth states very clearly, there is this noble, the Fourth Noble Truth, that explains clearly the way out of suffering, the path out of suffering. You cultivate this Noble Eightfold Path, it will lead to the end of all suffering. This is what enlightenment is all about. This is what the meditation is all about. So without Noble Eightfold Path, you cannot free your mind. That's why only wisdom free. What is Noble Eightfold Path? Right view is right understanding, wisdom. Then from there, all the virtue come about. Right view leading to right thought, right speech, right action, right livelihood, the four right effort. Then the right living, right mindfulness, and right samadhi. This is how the Noble Eightfold Path is to be cultivated. Then I say sadhu. Then Krishna again says sadhu and gratitude to Brother Teo for the endless profound Dhamma sharing. Then later on, Panchi says sadhu. Is it indeed we are blessed to receive Brother Teo's guidance and pointing? Then Joyce also added something. He says sadhu, Christina. Then Eric one is very good. Just now I read to you already. Then after that, I think there were others who also developed the rejoicing. So if you really want to progress along the power of Dhamma, you have to listen to the audio file. Choose the good one. and listen attentively. You know what? This become habitual tendency. You understand or not? Before you die, the karmic conditioning, all this Dhamma will surface. Yeah. You will be like listening to Dhamma, even if the karmic consciousness come in. Yeah. But if you have mindfulness, the karmic consciousness cannot take over. At the moment of death, before you die, you will know how to die. Yeah. Because when I was 9 years old, this life, this segmented life, I don't know Dhamma, I don't know meditation. But when the consciousness starts to, like the craving starts to dissipate, yeah, about to die, my awareness was there, full. Nobody taught me, and I don't even know what that was. But it showed it to me. That's why you will know how to die. No need to have any Dhamma. Because of past cultivation. You will understand what this is. That's why when you are a bodhisattva, you will know how to die, even before you connect. Yeah, this is what the Dhamma is all about. Your understanding is already there. So when things happen, that nature will arise. Yeah. But you must have that spiritual nature to have that ability. That's why all this is very, very beautiful. And the teaching that come out, I already share with you all that day on the gathering of Kayamita, they are so different now. This year alone, we finished the Six Patriarch Platform Sutta, which was over a period of 3 years or so. 3 or 4 years, I think. Then we started the cultivation of the Bodhisattva way, which is a very unique teaching also. Then after that, we are going to start on the other book, yeah, The Path to Truth. Is based on the Wu Liang Yi Jing, the Sutta of the innumerable meaning. And all these are very beautiful Dhamma. Then finally, we will maybe go through the what they call the Lotus Sutta. Lotus Sutta is the best, very complete. In the Lotus Sutta, there is a lot of things, but too much story. Lotus Sutta maybe will take us 4 or 5 years. To finish. It's a very, very long and very deep sutta, all about the Bodhisattva way. They even have the prediction of all the arahants, the bodhisattvas and all those things. Then a lot of things inside there. So these are the things that are slowly surfacing. Oh, so fast. We better continue. 10:20, another 10 minutes. Okay, I read through this part. The Buddhist doctrine of rebirth should be differentiated from the theory of transmigration and reincarnation of other systems. Because the Buddha or Buddhism denies the existence of a transmitting permanent soul created by God or emanating from a paramattha, divine essence. It is karma that conditions rebirth. Past karma conditioned the present birth, and present karma in combination with past karma conditioned the future. The present is the offspring of the past, and becomes in turn the parent of the future. The actuality of the present need no proof, as it is self-evident. That of the past is based on memory and report, and that of the future on forethought and inference. If we postulate a past, a present, and a future life, then we are at once faced with the problem, what is the ultimate origin of life? One school of thought, in attempting to solve the problem, postulate the first cause, whether as a cosmic force or as an almighty being. Another school denies a first cause, for in common experience, the cause ever becomes the effect, and the effect becomes the cause. In a circle of cause and effect, a first cause is inconceivable. According to the former, life has had a beginning. According to the latter, it is beginningless. In the opinion of some, the conception of the first cause is as ridiculous as a round triangle. How can a triangle be round? That's why it's as ridiculous as that. One might argue that life has had a beginning in the infinite past, and that beginning, or the first cause, is the Creator. In that case, there is no reason why the same demand may not be made of this postulated Creator. With respect to this alleged first cause, men have held widely different views in interpreting this first cause of Paramatta, Brahma, Iwara. So all these believe in God alone, eh? They have this name. You know this is Jehovah. This one is the 7-day Adventist. Where Sunday they don't work on. The Almighty, Allah, Supreme Being, Father in Heaven, Creator, Order of Heaven, Prime Mover and Cause, Divine Essence, Chance. What is Pakati? I also don't know. Padana are some significant terms employed by certain religious teachers and philosophers. Hinduism traced the origin of life to a mystical Paramatta, means the ultimate Atman, from which emanates all Atmans or soul that transmigrate from existence to existence until they are finally reabsorbed in the Paramatta. One might question whether there is any possibility for this reabsorbed Atmas for a further transmigration. Christianity admits the possibility of an ultimate origin, attribute everything to the fiat of an almighty God. Okay, we stop here. Yeah, you can rejoice. Sadhu. So I will take this 5 minutes to explain a little bit about the first cause. When I was young, when we were in Form 5, I was with a group of classmates. One of the classmates, the father, is an authority in Buddhism. No? So he is very vocal. He supports Buddhism. So because I am from Chinese family, we also have a tendency to like Buddhism. So we went, I think there were 6 of us. We went all over. No? We go to every religion except Buddhist temple. We never look at Buddhism. I don't want to look at it because I thought what my mother was doing was Buddhism. I said, forget about it. So we went everywhere. We went to the Christianity. We even went to Baha'i. So what happened was, every time we ask questions, ask until that person cannot answer us. No. Then he said, you wait. You call the pastor, the more senior one come. Then got one, he said, you wait. Once a month only he come. He come back next month, what day he will come. This one is from KL. Yeah. So again, he ask, then he cannot answer. Then finally, he attribute everything to God. Then he say, God is almighty. You cannot ask. You understand? Huh? God is almighty beyond question. You cannot ask. Because I say, I'm a science student. If you tell me God created, then who is God? How did he come about? Because you talk about the first cause, isn't it? Somebody must create something, isn't it? Then who created your God? He don't know how to answer us, no. But he keep on using that sentence, no. God is almighty, beyond questioning. God has a reason for everything. So with that, we cannot probe further, so no. Cut off. Then I say, science teach a very easy theory, law of conservation of mass and energy. Nothing is created or destroyed. So we told him, but I think he also don't really understand science. Then he asked, so what? Means your theory cannot apply. Understand? Not? How can God exist when nothing is created or destroyed? You understand? Not? You understand the question now? You say God create. Yeah? But this law of conservation, it conserves itself now. Nothing is created or destroyed. But ultimately, it's a balance of nature. You understand? Not? Then I say, how can your God just come about from nowhere? Understand? Not? But nothing is created or destroyed. It's like a conservation of mass and energy. he don't understand sign. That's why he doesn't know what we are trying to tell him. Is it not relevant? Is it God is Almighty? That's it. Then I said something. No, that time I don't know Buddhism. No. I said I like the theory of emptiness. Emptiness means what? From zero come one. One come infinity. Understand? Zero is emptiness. That's why without duality, there is nothing in it. When duality arises, the mind right thing arises. Isn't it? You understand? Without the mundane mind, there was nothing in it. When the mundane mind arises, what happened? Ah, mind is a forerunner of all things. Mind is chiyo. When mind arises, everything arises, the Buddha said. That's why I said the universe can be what it is. Understand now? That's why I like Buddhism. I say this is good. Emptiness theory. I didn't understand. Somebody read to me. Then I understand. I say I like this theory. Mesh with science. Understand now? True or? Correct now? From emptiness everything come. Just like the Tao. Whatever that can be expressed, spoken or described, it's not the true Tao. And yet nothing is apart from the Tao. Then what is Tao? The oneness. Understand? The oneness, primordial nature. You heard of primordial? 本来的面目 in Mandarin. Primordial means the beginning, the original nature before the first thought of ignorance come out. That one is the Tao, the oneness nature. That's why whatever that can be spoken through the mundane mind concept, words, is not the true Tao. But nothing is apart from the Tao. It's just like Hui Ning, after the fifth patriarch told him, he said, how amazing is it that all Dharma come from the self nature. Nothing is apart from the self nature. That is the meaning of creation. Understand? The self nature never create. Empty. The mundane mind create. That's how consciousness evolve and move. That's why the beauty of Buddhism you all still cannot understand. How profound and how wonderful that teaching is. It can explain all things. Okay? Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. So this is something that you all have to reflect on that. And the moment you understand, you penetrate the Dhamma very fast. So this is something for you all tonight. Okay, we should end. Can we recall to mind all the wholesomeness that we have developed over the past 2 or 1 hours? And we will share and transfer this merits to all beings, starting with the devas. Akasata cha bhumata devanaga mahindika punyang tang anumoditva chirang rakkantu loka sasana itta watta cha amehi sampadan punya sampadan sabbe deva anumodantu sapa sampati siddhiya idang me nyatinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo. Idang me nyatinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo. Idang me nyatinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo. Imina punyang kamena mame bala samagamo satang samagamo hotu. Yāvā nivāna pātiyā sādhu, sādhu, sādhu. Okay, pay respect mindfully to all the worthy ones, then we end.